All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is our crossover Thursday where I will be joined by the host of Locked On Panthers, Bill Rossetti, to preview this upcoming Week 5 matchup between the Falcons and Carolina Panthers.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years. Formerly at FalFans.com, RIP, currently on Twitter at FalFans, and also currently hosting this world-renowned Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And as I said at the top, today is a crossover Thursday where I will be joined by the Locked On Panthers host, Bill Rossetti, to preview our Week 5 matchup against the Carolina Panthers. We'll get into why are the Panthers seemingly trending upwards and get into and continue the conversation of why the Falcons are seemingly trending downwards and whether that will flip and reverse this upcoming weekend. And, you know, without further ado, let's jump into that conversation. So guys, we are here for another crossover Thursday between the Atlanta Falcons and Carolina Panthers in Week 5. Of course, I'm your host of Locked On Falcons, Aaron Freeman, joined by the host of Locked On Panthers, Bill Rossetti. And we're going to be taking you into some of the key storylines and matchups for this upcoming Week 5 game. Bill, we were talking before we jumped on and recorded, seemingly that if you had taken bets on which team would be entering this week 0-4, I think a lot of people would have lost money on that bet between these two teams. It seems like the Panthers, after you know starting 0-2, are trending upwards, while the Falcons are sort of going in the opposite direction. What are your thoughts on sort of that situation with these two teams heading into this game?
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. And as always, you know, great to see you and talk to you, man. Always good to get on here with you. Yeah, this has been an interesting first quarter for these two teams. You know, this was obviously supposed to be a big year for the Falcons. We were hoping that that momentum that they had from the second half of last season was going to carry over into this season, and Dan Quinn was fighting for his job, and we've obviously seen the results so far. I mean, we don't really have to talk much into it. It's been covered. Basically, they did it again. I just can't believe just the results of some of these games for the Falcons. And you know, it sucks that the injury bug is hurting them again. You know, it sucked to see Devontae KZ go down again. So yeah, really unfortunate start for the Falcons. But I mean, the Panthers, yeah, they've been very competitive really all season, and especially the last 2 weeks, you know, really coming together and getting those wins over the Chargers and the Cardinals. So it's really been nice to see this team really already start to buy into what Matt Rhule has. So it's been a fun start so far.
Now, with my expectations, and I think a lot of people's expectations when we were doing crossovers this offseason, we were like, yeah, this Panthers team has some weapons on offense. And, you know, sort of the big question is, like, do they have a good enough offensive line to be able to keep Teddy Bridgewater upright in order for him to be able to distribute the ball to those weapons? And I'm just curious on those two fronts, how have these weapons been performing with Robbie Anderson and Mike Davis sort of stepping in to Christian McCaffrey's shoes, as well as sort of what you're seeing from Teddy Bridgewater, as well as sort of your assessment of the Panthers' offensive line and whether or not they're doing a good enough job to sort of keep this momentum going on offense?
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch this offense kind of grow over these first few weeks. And, you know, we'll start with Teddy. Teddy's really just done a great job, I think, of holding on to the football. I mean, he only has, I think, one interception all season long and really doesn't have any fumbles, you know, so he really hasn't turned the ball over at all this season. So that's been a key reason why the Panthers have won the last 2 weeks and why they've been, you know, kind of hanging around for most of this season. I mean, the Buccaneers just kind of outmatched them for most of that game, but they were still pretty competitive in that game. But Teddy's been moving the ball down the field pretty well. He started to use his legs a little bit more. He finally caught a or finally had a rushing touchdown on Sunday against the Cardinals, first one in 5 years, which is pretty crazy to think about. But, you know, really nice to see that happen for him after everything he's been through. And he's really started to build a nice connection with all these receivers. And it's really not just one guy that he's kind of been zeroing in on. He's really been spreading the ball pretty nicely. You know, one day DJ Moore might kind of take the lead, or last Sunday, for example, Robbie Anderson was sort of the focal point, you know, 99 yards receiving, leading the way. But really all the guys have been getting involved pretty well. So it's been really nice, you know, kind of like you saw with LSU, how they've been spreading the ball to all the different receivers. You know, Joe Burrow really didn't focus on one guy. You know, granted, Ja'Marr Chase had 20 touchdowns and Justin Jefferson at 17, but still, he was spreading it out pretty nicely. Teddy's kind of doing the same thing in Carolina. It's not just the receivers. You mentioned Mike Davis. I mean, Mike Davis has 21 catches in three games since taking over for Christian McCaffrey. Really, not even three full games. You know, really just two games and one quarter, because he really didn't come in until the fourth quarter of that Buccaneers game, and he still ended up with 8 catches in that game. So it's been nice to see the Panthers not really have to adjust their game plan in terms of their backfield, even with Christian McCaffrey out. So Mike Davis is going to continue to get catches. But behind Mike Davis is going to be interesting, because Reggie Bonifant was just put on the injured list on the practice squad. So you might see Trenton Cannon activated this week. And they have a really intriguing running back option in Pete, and I'm not sure if I'm saying this name right. I feel like I'm going to butcher Guerriero, I'm going to guess. He came over from the Jets. He was a second leading rusher all time at Monmouth. Really intriguing guy. So interested to see if they call him up. They likely will, just to have a third running back. But the running back or the running game has not really hit a speed bump since Christian McCaffrey has gone down. So that's been nice to see. And then the offensive line, you know, that was obviously the biggest question mark on this team, but I think they've kind of gelled together a little bit over the last couple of weeks, especially with Chris Reed now taking over at the left guard position with Dennis Daly being injured. And I think Chris Reed's done a really nice job these last couple of weeks. It'll be interesting once Dennis Daly is healthy enough to go, what they do with that left guard position. You know, Paradis has done okay this season at center, and what's really been kind of a make or break year for him. John Miller's been pretty solid at right guard, and then Taylor Moten just continues to be Taylor Moten. Now that left tackle position, you know, has been an interesting kind of rotation right now. Russell Okung's been out the last couple of weeks, so Greg Little and Trent Scott have kind of rotated in and out during the last two games. And Trent Scott's been solid the last two games, but Greg Little, I thought, really improved from week 3 to week 4. He struggled in week 3 against the Chargers, definitely looked better, had some, you know, down moments for sure, but definitely looked a lot better in week 4. And I mean, we're still talking about two teams with really good pass rushes in the Chargers and the Cardinals. So, you know, it's understandable that Greg Little being kind of thrown in there would struggle at times, but he's starting to come together a little bit after his rookie season was kind of ruined with injuries. So, you know, they might feel like they still have something for the future after Russell Okung. But overall, this offense has really seemed to be clicking on all cylinders, and it's really been fun to watch these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I look at this Panthers offensive line, and I look at the Falcons defense, and I look back at last year. I think the two Falcons wins over the Panthers largely are due to the fact that Kyle Allen was running for his life for basically those entire games, and that led to him making a number of mistakes. You're not going to get that with Teddy Bridgewater, as you pointed out, but I do think it's going to be important for the Falcons to sort of assert their dominance in the trenches, because as you pointed out, with Joe Brady, with those weapons, and based off of how the Falcons have played on defense, there's no real reason to think that the Falcons will be able to slow down those playmakers if Teddy Bridgewater has time to throw. So I think that's going to be an important matchup for the Falcons this upcoming week. But I kind of want to sort of turn our attention now to the Panthers defense, and we'll do that coming up on today's Crossover Thursday episode. But we just heard about the great components of the Panthers offense clicking and seemingly getting that unit starting to fire on all cylinders. And if you're concerned about the parts in your car or truck helping or hurting your vehicle's ability to fire on all cylinders, then the solution is to head over to rockauto.com. They have everything from engine parts, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even floor mats. You can get everything in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's easy to navigate, and you can quickly see all the parts available for your car or truck, choose by brand, specification, or the prices that you prefer. And those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. Same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, truck, right? Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us in our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. So we're here with Bill Rossetti of Locked On Panthers, and we just spent some time talking about this Panthers offense, but now I want to turn our attention to the Panthers defense. Went into the season, a similar sort of question as I asked you with the offense. It looked into the season like there was a complete rebuild, but it seems like from where I'm standing, I watched a little bit of the Arizona Cardinals game last week. It seems like some of the young players, you already know Brian Burns was one of their top playmakers, but guys like Derek Brown and Yetur Gross-Matos and Jeremy Chinn seem like they're stepping up these last couple of games, and maybe this defensive rebuild may not take as long as maybe some people were predicting heading into the season. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been pretty crazy, but really exciting to see these young guys come together. And really, it starts with Jeremy Chinn. I mean, Chinn has been flying all over the field. He's leading the team in tackles, just continues to – he's almost kind of taken a leadership role already, just with his play on the field, because he just moves around kind of all over the place. And it's almost like the Panthers have like three safeties on the field at all times, because he's become kind of that hybrid player that we knew he was going to be coming out of Southern Illinois. But Chinn's been the big leader. Derek Brown, like you mentioned, has stepped up the last couple of games. Yetur Gross-Matos kind of had his breakout game against the Cardinals. And then, like you said, Brian Burns really taken over as the leader of that defensive end unit. But a couple of other players that I'll mention too, especially one that's kind of become almost an early unsung hero for the Panthers and one of the more underrated waiver claims so far, has been Rasul Douglas. Comes over from the Panthers as one of those final cuts, or waiver claims after final cuts from the Philadelphia Eagles. So joins the team pretty much right at the start of the regular season, gets thrust into a starting role, or mixed in with Troy Pride in that first game against the Raiders, and since then has really just kind of taken over as that second starter opposite Dante Jackson, who himself has improved I think a lot from last season. So quietly, the Panthers have so far built a pretty solid cornerback duo between Dante Jackson and Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas has, I think he's been one of the top corners in PFF so far, if I remember correctly. I know they said he was, there have been some numbers floating around. I forget them off the top of my head, but there have been numbers floating around on like certain stats from either PFF or something that Rasul Douglas has been really good at. And, so it's nice to see Douglas really start to show what he can be. He obviously never really lived up to the potential that the Eagles were hoping for when they took him in the third round. But Phil Snow has been using him quite well, I think, so far. And then Justin Burris has been a nice addition as that versatile, defensive back. You can kind of move him all over the field as well. And even at the linebacker position, Shaq Thompson has really taken on that leadership role. And, you know, Tyre Whitehead has done pretty decently at the Mike backer position. Obviously, he's no Luke Kuechly, but he's kind of holding his own. And, you know, it's nice to see teams not gouging the Panthers against the run as they were last year, you know, especially last week when we thought Kenyon Drake had a chance to run all over them, and he didn't. He only had 35 yards on 13 carries. So, yeah, things are really starting to blend together, and, you know, you're just going to continue to see these young guys just, you know, keep getting in there, and I think the potential here is quite well.
Yeah, clearly the Panthers had the wrong West Virginia corner in Darryl Worley, and they should have just had Rasul Douglas the entire time.
Exactly.
And I think it'll be interesting to sort of see how that secondary plays this upcoming week. Because, again, talking about sort of how the offense, the big question mark was the offensive line. I think going into the season, the secondary was the big question mark for the Panthers' defense. And obviously there's going to be some challenges this week against some of the weapons that the Falcons have. But it may not be as big a challenge because there's right now concerns that Julio Jones will probably sit this upcoming weekend. And Calvin Ridley's coming off of two kind of lackluster games, trying to sort of fill in to those shoes the last 2 weeks. So unless the Falcons can get their passing game going, although Ridley has a history of going off against the Panthers. So maybe this is the type of game that he needs to sort of bounce back. But I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. And we're going to continue today's Crossover Thursday, flipping the script. And we'll have Bill ask me some Falcon questions and sort of get the opposite side of this matchup coming up on today's Crossover Thursday. And before we do that, I want to let you guys know that we all have walls that we have to break through every day. And for me personally, one of those walls was being compelled to stay up pretty late on Monday evening, or really Tuesday morning, being up to 3-4 o'clock in the morning, trying to record, edit and upload a rapid reaction podcast to the Falcons Monday night game against the Packers. And that led me to be pretty tired on Tuesday morning when I was able to finally get up out of bed. But I was able to sort of break through that wall by taking down a Built Go. Built Go's come from the same company that provides the great tasting protein bars at Built Bar. Built Go's come in three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, and chocolate mint. I was able to take down a peanut butter, honey. Collagen protein gives me the energy without having to rely on, you know, chugging coffees or chai lattes and relying on caffeine, which gives you that sort of crash feeling, you know. And I was able to power through my day. And, you know, if I needed to run out to the store or needed to hit the gym up, I could take a easy to transport Built Go, stash it in my pocket and be right there for me should I need another one. But guess what? I didn't need another one. Right. And you guys can, you know, break through whatever walls that you're hoping to break through by checking out Built Go, those three delicious flavors, by visiting BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED to get 30% off your next order. Again, use that promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
We're back here, Crossover Thursday. Aaron Freeman, Billy Rossetti, Locked On Falcons, Locked On Panthers, getting set for what should be a fun week five divisional matchup between the Falcons and the Panthers. And we're going to flip the script, talk about the Falcons a little bit. And, you know, I think the first question we got to shoot to you is, what the heck is going on? You know, like we kind of talked about it at the top, you know, this was a team that we thought had the momentum going in and thought they were filling in some pieces throughout the off season. And we obviously know of the leads that evaporated. Overall, what's the sense in Atlanta, and really how close is Dan Quinn being, or really how close is Dan Quinn to no longer being coach of the Falcons?
Well, we've been speculating for the last couple of weeks that, you know, the next game could be Dan Quinn's last, and we will continue to speculate that the next game could be Dan Quinn's last. I think a lot of people, including myself, have been looking at this Carolina game in week five, coming off the Monday night game. To me, it was doubtful that the Falcons would try to fire Dan Quinn, you know, after a Monday night game, which would give the interim coach a short week. But the Falcons are going to be playing at home in front of a limited crowd. And that crowd is probably going to be very vocal with their criticism of Dan Quinn. And it will be potentially an embarrassment for Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner, if, you know, the Dan Quinn and the Falcons lay an egg this week and they're booed off the field. So I think there is a real possibility that Monday could be, you know, the first day of a new gig for a potential interim coach. But, you know, in terms of the Falcons 0-4 start, you know, week one, they got caught off guard because Seattle let Russ cook for the first time in years. And, you know, I don't think it's too bad of a loss to get basically caught off the entire world was caught off guard by Seattle letting Russ cook. So I don't think I don't look back at that game as like, oh, this is awful that they lost to Seattle. But then the next 2 weeks, they built big leads against Dallas, played really well offensively against Dallas, and created some turnovers early in that game that led to some points, and then completely collapsed in that game. Did a similar thing with the Bears game, able to build the lead and then completely collapse in the final few minutes of that game. And so, you know, we came off of those first three games feeling like, okay, there's a couple of plays that they're away from, you know, being a 2-1 team, that if they just sort of tighten things up in the second halves of games, they would be a 2-1 team. And the hope was that they would be able to use some of that momentum of the coulda, shoulda, woulda of basically, okay, we're going in against a Green Bay team that's, you know, 3-0. They're probably a better football team overall, but maybe we can be competitive with this team for, you know, four quarters and prove to everybody that this team is better than their 0-3 record is. And of course, that was not to be the case. They had some injuries on defense going into the game, and very quickly was clear that the young players that were inserted into the lineup, particularly in the secondary, were not ready to play in that game. And Green Bay, you know, basically just had no problem moving the ball up and down the field against them defensively. Then the offense needed to come out with a fast start. They did not do that on Monday Night Football. And it raises questions that this offense is really poised to carry this team, which they're going to have to be if they're going to have any chance of being competitive. So, it's a, you know, as I said at the top, the Falcons are trending down while the Panthers are trending up. And so, you know, if that downward spiral continues, then I think there's a real possibility that Dan Quinn might be coaching his last game this weekend. And if not this weekend, you know, one of the things I speculated on yesterday's Locked On Falcons with the guest was, if it's not this week five game, that week eight game on Thursday night against the Panthers could be also the end of the Dan Quinn tenure, just because it kind of gives an interim coach a little bit of a mini bye if the Falcons decide to move on from them, given, you know, like 10 days to prepare for his first game. So it does seem to me that, you know, either this week five game or this week eight game, there's pretty high probability that if the Falcons lose either one of these games, it could be Dan Quinn's last.
And kind of going off that, you know, these two teams going in different directions, that's why, you know, it really intrigued me looking at even the spread right now of this game. Atlanta's a 2.5 point favorite. At least when I last checked into it, Atlanta's a 2.5 point favorite. Now, I get they're at home, but it baffles me a little bit that Carolina is a 2.5 point dog coming off two straight wins over two decent to okay teams against an 0-4 Falcons team. Can you try to put into perspective why the Falcons might still be favored in this game?
Yeah, I did check it right before we aired. It's now moved to 2. But, you know, the Falcons are still favored by 2 points. So I think obviously the home teams generally get 3 points in these matchups. I don't know if Vegas is adjusting that because of COVID and whatnot this year. But it seems that Vegas is basically saying that Carolina is the better team. But because the Falcons are playing at home, they think that that gives the Falcons a boost. Yeah, I just think this is Vegas trying being not sure of what this Falcon team is and wondering, okay, they completely laid an egg on Monday night. Are they going to look like the team that they looked like on Monday night? Or are they going to look like the team that actually looked competent in their previous games, minus, you know, a couple of bad plays in the fourth quarter? So that's the only thing I can explain to it. But yeah, I look at that line and I think, you know, put your money on Carolina.
Which, spoiler alert, I already have. Put them in a parlay as well. So I also want to go back to something you talked about on, you know, my segment, I guess we'll say. And, you know, you mentioned Calvin Ridley and the injuries to Julio Jones. You know, so give us a little more insight, if you can, on the injuries to the Falcons, you know, what's going on with Julio, how Russell Gage is doing. And then, you know, talk about Calvin Ridley in that leadership role. Like you said, he's, you know, he obviously didn't do anything, a big old goose egg on Monday night. But you mentioned his history against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, he's played four games so far, and he's found the end zone in all four of those games. He's averaging 93 yards per game in those four games. Now, that's, you know, bumped up by the Week 11 game last year where he had a buck 43. But still, he's had at least 64 yards in all four games that he's played against the Panthers. So good chance that that trend might continue. So, you know, what's the latest on the Falcons injury notes, especially receiver, and what can Calvin Ridley do to, you know, bounce back from these last couple of weeks here?
Yeah, with Julio, you know, he's been dealing with a hamstring since August. He missed the Bears game in week three. He came back in week four against Green Bay with the extra day of rest. And the Falcons were confident that he would be able to play. But basically, it was very clear early on in that game that he didn't have the same burst. He was struggling a little bit more, trying to beat press coverage. He had a couple of catches, but four catches for like 32 yards. And basically a quarter or half before the Falcons were like, yeah, he can't go. Shut him down. And so, you know, he did not play the remainder of that game. And I think the Falcons are really going to have to bite the bullet a little bit with Julio Jones and basically just shut him down for not only this week, but potentially subsequent weeks, and try to give that hamstring some time to heal. As we know, hamstring injuries tend to linger with players. Calvin Ridley was dealing with an ankle injury, which I think contributed to why he struggled against Green Bay. But I think him and the Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley connection has kind of been missed these last 2 weeks with his sort of having to be the number one receiver and sort of playing that X wide receiver position that, that Julio Jones typically plays and is sort of the centerpiece of the offense. And Calvin Ridley's typically played that Z spot opposite him. And because of all the bracket coverage that Julio Jones gets, it allows Calvin Ridley to sort of feast on those one-on-ones. And, you know, you look at the Bears box score and you say, oh, like he had 100 yards receiving in that game, but he had like five catches on like 15 targets or whatever the numbers were. And particularly in the second half of that game, like basically him and Matt Ryan could not link up. And I think the numbers are like, he's had three catches on his like last 15 targets from Matt Ryan over the last 2 weeks. So I think, you know, Ridley needs a bounce back game. The Falcons need to find a way to make Ridley, you know, have his quote unquote typical Panther game this upcoming week, because without him, you know, they just don't have enough. They just haven't been able to get consistent production from their other weapons. Russell Gage has had some moments this year, but he had two catches last week against Green Bay and didn't step up in a major way there. They got some production from Olamide Zaccheaus these last couple of weeks, sort of filling in as that third wide receiver with Julio Jones out of the lineup. But I don't necessarily know if you can trust Olamide Zaccheaus to sort of funnel your offense through. And Hayden Hurst has been pretty quiet after, you know, two sort of solid first two games. And these last couple of weeks just hasn't really made much of an impact. So it's clear that the Falcons have the weapons to be able to, you know, on paper at least, to be able to survive without Julio Jones on the field. But, you know, these last two games, just their offense has sort of stagnated in a major way trying to throw the football without Julio Jones on the field.
I got to say, that's such a cool name for a receiver too, Olamide Zaccheaus. I love that. But yeah, he you know, was thrust in there a little bit, kind of looked okay. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think we'll just jump in and kind of talk about what we think is going to happen. I think we kind of have more or less given our thoughts of what we think is going to happen. But is there any what do the Falcons have to do to win this game?
Yeah, I think they have to be the team offensively. They have to be the team that they were against Dallas. They stuck to the outside zone run scheme. They were able to dial up some play action passes, generate some big plays. This offense was not explosive at all against Green Bay, which was a big reason why they stood no chance of coming back in that game. They didn't get their first 20 plus yard play until, you know, 87 seconds left in the game after being down. So they have to find ways to generate explosive plays against this Panthers offense. That's obviously going to come more likely through the air than it is on the ground. Todd Gurley's been a solid running back, but not he's not the explosive back that you want or that he formerly was. He's not a guy that's going to be ripping off, you know, 40, 50-yard runs. He's just going to kind of grind it out, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. That's basically what he is at this point. And he's been effective in that role, particularly when the Falcons have sort of stuck to their outside zone running scheme, but they've largely abandoned it these last 2 weeks. So I think the Falcons' offense is going to have to get off to a fast start. And as I said earlier, I think their defense has to find a way to dominate the trenches, because just looking at the injuries they have in the secondary, with, you know, they're hopeful that they'll get guys like AJ Terrell back, you know, Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal, get some of those guys back. You mentioned DeMonte Casey going down for the season. They're not getting him back. Darquez Denard's on IR. He was their best corner in the Bears game. He's still out for a couple more weeks. So, you know, I just don't have any confidence that these backup secondary players are going to be able to stick with the Panthers playmakers. And they've really struggled against tight ends. So all I have to sit here and say is, like, Grady Jarrett has to basically just take over this game. If Greg Little winds up being the starting left tackle, Dante Fowler, who's been somewhat of a disappointment this year, has to take over this game. So if the Falcons offense can get off to a fast start, and their defensive line can dominate the line of scrimmage like they did in 2 games last year, they got a shot. If both of those things don't happen, or one of those things doesn't happen, I don't really think, based off of how this Panther team has been playing these last couple of weeks, that the Falcons are going to find a way to win.
I think with the Panthers, it's kind of the same. You know, that defensive line just has to continue, you know, to get pressure. They've started to get to the quarterback. They've had a couple sacks in the last 2 weeks after not registering a single sack in the first 2 weeks of the season. So they've got to get after Matt Ryan, but, you know, obviously Atlanta still has a pretty solid, pretty good offensive line. But, you know, like you said, if Julio can't go, that's certainly a big addition, because we kind of saw, or a big boost, I should say, to the Panthers, because we kind of saw last week with the Cardinals, you know, they were still able to contain, you know, to a sense, Kyler Murray and that passing offense. Kyler Murray still had, or, you know, accounted for over 200 yards. About 78 of them were on the ground, but they only threw for 133. And that was with DeAndre Hopkins playing, but he only ended up with 40 yards. So if they can get that same success against the Falcons and slow down Calvin Ridley and, you know, kind of stop the streak that we touched on earlier, that's going to be, you know, a big help. So Dante Jackson and Rasul Douglas have to continue to, you know, continue to improve and continue their good stretch that they've started in these first 4 weeks of the season. And then offensively, you know, just keep taking care of the football, because, you know, despite how down this Falcons team is, you know, if the Panthers make some mistakes, this is still an offense that can kind of turn it on in a second and still capitalize on any mistakes the Panthers might make. So Panthers, you know, Teddy's got to continue to take care of the football, keep getting Mike Davis utilized like they have been these last couple weeks. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the backfield behind Mike Davis. You might even see Curtis Samuel even more. You know, they've sprinkled him in a little bit the last couple weeks. You might see him a little bit more in the running game now that Reggie Bonifant is out for 3 weeks. So continue to get the ball in their playmakers' hands and just kind of let them try to take advantage of this banged up Falcons secondary. So I think if they can do that, I think the Panthers probably will have a good shot of winning this football game.
Yeah, I think you're right. Basically, if the Panthers play like they've played the last couple of games and the Falcons play like they've played the last couple of games, then it should, I won't say it's a cakewalk to a Panthers win, but it shouldn't be something that Panther fans will be sweating too much this weekend. We'll see how it shakes out. We'll see if a new version of the Falcons shows up. We'll see if this Matt Rhule-led Panthers team continues to show the consistency that they've shown throughout the season. Consistency is not a word that is in the Falcons vocabulary so far this season. So we'll see if that flips. And of course, you know, guys, you can check me out, of course, daily on the Locked On Falcons podcast. If you want to find my snarky tweets about the Falcons, you can check me out on FalcFans on Twitter, FalcFans. And Bill, let the people know what they can find from you coming up on Locked On Panthers.
Yeah, always fun again to talk to you. Locked On Panthers, of course, going. Find me on Twitter at Bill_Riccetti, RICCETTE. Now, the rest of this week, who knows how I'll be feeling, because I'm actually getting 2 teeth taken out. Actually, by the time a lot of you probably will hear this on Thursday, I will probably already have them pulled. So the rest of Thursday will be quite fun for me. So depending on how I feel Friday and Saturday. But, you know, for the most part, after I rest up this weekend, I'll be good to go. And we'll be back, of course, with more Panthers stuff. And I'm with SI Panthers now as well. So I'm going to get that rolling soon. So, you know, couple of places you can find me, but Twitter is usually the best place to get in contact with me.
Yeah, you know, we had a fellow Locked On host, Cody Rourke, I think had his wisdom teeth pulled a couple of weeks ago, posted some interesting videos. Are we going to get anything, some anesthesia, post-anesthesia videos from you, Bill, this week?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows how I'm going to feel? Maybe I'll rant about the NBA finals or something and start crying that the Sixers didn't make it or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, look forward to it. if we get any sort of premium Locked On Panthers content. So looking forward.
We'll go back to 1995. I'll start tweeting about Kerry Collins or something.
Definitely. All right, man. Appreciate you, Bill, for joining me today on another Crossover Thursday, and looking forward to at least one of us might be looking forward to what happens this weekend. So we'll see how it
shows up. Yeah, should be fun, and definitely looking forward to chatting with you again in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. All right, man. So there you guys have another Crossover Thursday in the book. Shout out to Bill Rossetti. Good luck, Bill, on your surgery, and we'll see what happens with this Falcon team on, you know, Sunday, as I outlined. If the same team that's basically laid eggs these last four games shows up, they're going to lay a fifth egg. And we'll see if that is the indicator for Arthur Blank to move on, or does he give it a little bit more time, hoping that, you know, maybe they can figure it out against the Vikings and or Detroit Lions. Who knows at this point in time. So that's where we'll wrap things up today, guys. Tomorrow will be a Q&A episode. Already gotten some good questions talking about, you know, trading Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and whatnot. If you want to send in additional questions for me to answer, or you just have general feedback that you want to provide, things that you like about the show, things that you hate about the show, you know, things that you don't want me to talk about anymore, things that you do want me to talk about in the future. Of course, I am open to all feedback, positive and negative. You know, if you're going to try to hurt my feelings, just, you know, give me a backhand compliment. You know, I'm just a gentle soul, just trying to make it through 2020 as easy as possible. So send in that feedback back to me on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, or Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to me at LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Appreciate you guys tuning in for another Locked On Falcons Crossover Thursday. Until then. And get into and continue the conversation of why the Falcons are seemingly trending downwards, and whether that will flip, you know, flip it, smack it, whether that will flip